tuning in. From Kid Check, I'm Angela Luton, and you're listening to Protect the Nest, a podcast for individuals who have a passion for child safety and believe that technology plays a strong role in helping churches and other child-focused organizations care for children. And once again, we're glad you clicked in. We've got a great discussion planned for today. It's around holiday safety tips and tricks and best practices that churches of any size can implement to increase safety and security within their children's ministry area. And today, we have two guests that I feel so honored to have with us. Joining us today is what I believe to be one of children's ministry's most dynamic duos. This lovely couple resides in Stockton, California, and has made their passion for sharing the gospel with children in a fun and, of course, safe environment, their life's work. So I'd like to welcome today Heidi and Jason Hensley. Thank you both for being with us. Such an honor.
Yeah, we're excited to be on with you.
Great. Well, before we begin, I want to share a bit about your backgrounds. You're both such a wealth of knowledge and have accomplished so much in your areas of expertise. For our listeners, I want to set up your perspectives. So, Jason, let's start with you.
Okay.
You served 11 years as a senior associate pastor prior to going into law enforcement. And then within law enforcement, you held positions as a police officer, a SWAT operator, a school resource officer, and a public information officer. And most recently, which amazes me, you've added an active shooter instructor onto your profile. And not to mention pro blogger. I have to share that Jason authored a new best practice for KidCheck. It's called Safety Beyond Check-In, and it can be found in our best practice section in our support center on kidcheck.com. So, sorry, I just had to share that because it's really good. And I look at your experience and I think, wow, you've really got the 411 on safety and security for sure.
Obviously, over the last 10 years, it's been something that is a priority, working as a school safety officer, local police department, and then I think it definitely carries over to assisting in the church and with Heidi and her ministry. So, I think they cross over well with one another.
Absolutely. Well, I just feel like your background is so incredible because it's not very often that you find someone who has really been on the front lines of ministry then who crosses over to something like law enforcement. I mean, they seem sort of antithetical to each other, but of great compliment for what you're doing. And I loved in your best practice how you shared that a large part of what you do for a living really does involve the safety of children. So
It does, and that's obviously on a day-to-day basis, working at the school, and then it just spills over into the weekend working on the church. At the church, I'm a fifth and sixth grade Sunday school teacher. I often joke that Heidi's my church boss because I teach Sunday school under her ministry. And so I'm obviously very much involved in the local church in way of safety as well as just being a kidman worker.
We are excited to hear your thoughts on a few of the upcoming questions. Let's share some details about your lovely wife. And oh my goodness, I think I mentioned before where to begin. Heidi, you have achieved so much. I mean, not only are you an accomplished speaker and presenter, you're also the director of Children and Family Ministries at Quail Lakes Baptist Church, and that's in Stockton. And Heidi's been in her position since 2005, and in that time has somehow found an opportunity to manage a successful children's ministry blog. It's entitled Heidi Hensley, author a book, and develop a new training event for children's ministry in the local churches, and it's called Revive. Wow, that's a lot of great stuff. Did I forget anything?
No, I don't think so. That sounds busy.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. So,
and super wife and mother as well.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, we're excited to have you with us, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts. With that said, I'm going to set up a little bit about, we are in the second week of December, and by now, most of us are keenly aware that Christmas is fast approaching. But for those in children's ministry, this is technically the busy season. There's so much to do, programs to be prepared, decorating duty, and just a mountain of details to manage. And the holiday season is interesting because it's also a time of an increase of new faces, volunteers, visiting families, and just in general, increased stress and emotion of the time. So one item that's easily lost in this great holiday shuffle is the need for increased security within the children's ministry area. So for today's discussion, let's begin with some tactical security questions. Jason, these first few are directed your way.
Okay.
So if you could share with our listeners, in your opinion, what is the number one security threat to children's ministry during the holiday season?
Well, I think you alluded to it there briefly, and that is, without a doubt, you're having a lot of visitors, first-time visitors on your campus that maybe your staff and volunteer staff are just not used to seeing. And so I think throughout the year you kind of get into a pattern of knowing this group of parents and these people that are coming in and out of your ministry. And now all of a sudden during the Christmas season, you're having those new folks come. And what an awesome opportunity to be able to, you know, invite them into your congregation. But you don't know anything about those people. So I think it's, you know, a little bit of that. Obviously, your children's workers aren't out working the parking lot and that kind of stuff. So they're more in the classroom setting and seeing these people come in and out, and it's truly being that observer and paying attention to them. And the other thing, too, under this is simply having a plan. A lot of churches don't have a plan. They're not prepared for this. So I think it's taking that conscious effort to understand the people around you and the people that are coming and going. I hope that makes a little sense.
Absolutely. And I love how you mentioned a plan, because that really is one of the questions at KidCheck we get most often. Where do I start? Churches sometimes don't even know where to begin to even create a plan. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Are there, or can you share a few things that you might share with the children's ministry staff or volunteers in regards to what they should be looking for to identify potential security threats during the holiday season, especially if they're not out amongst, you know, the masses that are coming in or the people that are coming in? How do you encourage those people to look for and identify threats?
Well, when you're dealing with a ministry worker, someone that's involved in Kidman, they're not necessarily looking for specific things out of the norm. And obviously I'm going to sound redundant today while we talk, but that is being that trained observer and just looking for certain things that are out of place. And sometimes it might just be taking a mental note of the behavior of, you know, people coming through, whether it's parents, grandparents, or just people dropping children off, paying attention to their responses, the way they're reacting, just unusual behavior. And it might truly just be taking that mental note, but then obviously, you know, we've already talked about it once, and we're going to probably say it a few more times, the idea of being prepared and having a plan if that person is coming in and is just not making sense, they're erratic, having certain things in place where you can contact your church staff. I think that's also another thing for those churches that have first responders in their congregation, police officers, firemen, depending on the emergency. Having the ability to communicate with them for secondary support is also, I think, an important step.
That's great. Do you, if you don't mind me asking, at Quail Lakes, do you increase your, I guess, communication devices during the holiday season, meaning do more of your, you know, sort of tertiary attendees, your first responders, do they get radios? Do you often sort of pull them into the loop for the holiday season? Anything around that?
Well, I'll answer part of that, and then I'll let Heidi actually answer a little bit of that, because
okay.
I think it crosses over both of us. They have, a lot of us that are first responders, they have our contact information. As a matter of fact, the ID card, right? The ID card that Heidi has for her staff actually has some of our numbers on the back of that card. knowing that we're on campus. But I think it's also important having the non-emergency phone number of the police department also available. I encourage people to program it in their phone, but Heidi also has that on the back of the ID cards. Heidi, is there anything else that you might?
Well, as far as stepping it up, we actually, because our campus is very open, we sit in a residential area, but when you come to our campus, there's it almost sits on a corner, so it's kind of a round entry, so you can enter anywhere, and you know, it makes it a friendly atmosphere, but at the same time, it's very open. It's very hard to keep it, you know, secure or locked down in any form of that word. So one of the things we do is an elder, a children's ministry worker, a preschool worker, the parking lot security, and we do have a security guard on our campus. All five of those positions have a radio every Sunday. Oh. And that part is year-round, but it's definitely stepped up a little bit more in the holiday season. So it helps a little bit. I think communication is going to be your biggest line of defense there, because if I have a kid that's missing, if I can tell five people that are in five corners of the campus, you know, it's going to get a faster response.
Sure. Heidi, how do you respond to those? You know, one question that we get asked here at KidCheck a bit is, you know, we don't want to intimidate new families coming in. I mean, we want to be secure. We want to provide an area for children's ministry that doesn't have a lot of access, you know, those types of things. But how do you, I mean, obviously security is on your mind constantly. How do you create that open, welcoming, approachable environment, but yet keep your security level high without making people feel like, you know, they're sort of under the microscope when they come in?
Mm-hmm. I think your biggest, you know, successful area of doing that is by creating a well-trained staff. I think it's easy to say you can go into any environment, and if you're prepared, you're going to be a little bit calmer. You're going to be a little bit more confident. And when you have a person who isn't, you know, on edge about something like that happening, and they just have the training under their belt and they can respond quickly to it and confidently, you change the temperature in the room.
Hmm. That's great.
I also think the parents are appreciate the fact that that is a priority. It gives them that a secondary sense of security, knowing that that is a concern and an issue that we pay attention to as well.
Yeah.
Especially if they're a new or visiting family. I think that right. speaks volumes to people.
Right. And, you know, one of the things, part of that training is that everybody has the same experience. We have people that, you know, I've had their children in my ministry since the day they were born. Mm. And when they walk up to claim their child, I still ask them for their parent tag. Mm. I know these people. I could probably rattle more information about them than some of my closest friends. But I ask for their parent tag because the visitor behind them will really observe and I think take that personally if I give them different treatment. So if it's very clear that everybody experiences the same treatment because we want to keep everybody's child safe, I think that that also brings a level of security and welcomeness rather than intimidation.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that consistency. You know, we talk a lot about that in addition to the creating the plan that Jason mentioned, but also keeping that consistency across the board for, you know, people who have attended the church a long time, as well as for those who are just brand new or visiting. That's great. So one thing, Jason, that I wanted to bounce off you was, does anything come to mind if we ask what are the three things that you believe churches can do right away in children's ministry to increase security and prepare for the holiday season? You've already mentioned the plan. You've
right.
already mentioned being very observant. Are there any other things that come to mind for you that some churches that are maybe a little smaller on the scale could take away immediately?
Well, you know, it's one of the things that we mentioned in the blog that that you've already mentioned that I wrote for you guys recently, that is even on the smaller church, you might not have a full-blown security team. A small church that runs 50 to 100, 150, you're not going to have a team of security, four or five guys out there with radios communicating back and forth. But it might just be having that individual that is that second set of eyes on your church campus, watching the areas where people can come, like Heidi had mentioned with our campus. We have them all over the place. But just keeping an eye out for those areas where people are coming onto the campus or able to leave the campus, and just being a trained observer, being a good witness. And that's one of the things I always, even when I'm off duty as a police officer, I'm just being a good witness. If I'm on campus, a lot of times I'm just observing. I'm being a dad, a husband, a Sunday school teacher, attending church. The only time that you would truly see, you know, a first responder get involved is where that threat level increases drastically. Other than that, we're just observing. And so having that second set of eyes of somebody on a small campus, a small church, that's just observing, you know, when you get a little bit bigger, then you are able to implement, you know, security teams. And that's where you would bring in cameras. At Quail, we have, I think we have, I don't know, close to 20 cameras now on campus.
Wow.
A lot of the times during our Sunday services, we have somebody that sits behind those cameras, watches those cameras, are able to radio out to the security guys in the golf carts. We have a couple of golf carts now at our church. Some of the churches that are even bigger than Quail probably have something even more extensive than that. But I think it's important for the church to have that kind of stuff in place. And if there is something that's amiss, somebody that's coming on your campus that has bad intentions, when they know that they're simply being watched, that makes a humongous change in their approach, and more than likely they'll probably leave your campus.
So having that presence somewhat visible, you feel really deters people from any sort of, you know, bad behavior.
Correct. And you know what? A lot of times they're not, depending on the person obviously out working the security, if it's a first responder, we might handle it different, but we encourage those that are on our security team, they're not there to make contact. That could be a danger to that individual or, you know, on our security team. They're just there to be seen. And to then let that other individual know that they're being watched and just observing. Hmm. And so, like I said, we don't want to put someone that's on our security team in danger and feeling like they need to go make contact with that individual, because that could be a dangerous situation. And I think a lot of times it's finding that right person to work those teams, because sometimes you get somebody who will, for the lack of a better term, make a mountain out of a molehill, when it truly could be somebody just walking through your campus.
Sure.
So it is learning to watch the behaviors of the individuals and that kind of thing, and just kind of looking at the big picture of it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, and even it makes even more sense because, as Heidi mentioned, you guys are in a residential area. So
right.
There's probably going to be somewhat more foot traffic than if you're a church more in an industrial area or something like that. So you probably have people just from the local neighborhoods coming in and off campus all the time.
And literally right next door to our church is a park.
Oh, so, well, there you go. Yeah. Wow.
You had complete, you know, and each church is going to have a different set of circumstances. And that's why I encourage, you know, the church, the people that are responsible for that, whether it's children's directors or administrative pastors, to contact your local first responders, fire and police. And most agencies will send somebody out to just spend 30, 45 minute safety walkthrough with mm-hmm. your staff.
That's great. I had no idea. Well, thank you for sharing that, because I think that's really important for churches that are smaller or possibly in rented locations to be able to pull from their local first responders. And, you know, and those responders can help them identify potential safety threats and give them advice basically for free, because, you know, they're on the community service side. So that's great. Thank you for those tips, and thank you for sharing that. I think that will be so helpful for people, you know, looking to increase their security during this holiday season. So
another thing, too, that I didn't think of until you had mentioned that, but that is also making your facility available for first responders to train in.
Interesting.
That way they can get familiar with your property and your facilities. There, here at Quail, the department that I work for, which is not actually in the city of Stockton, but we've trained there, the city of Stockton, fire and police have both trained in our facility at Quail now. Correct, Heidi?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that I think is invaluable.
What a great idea. And is that something that you can ask a local agency anywhere in the country is if they train on, if they would come and train in specific facilities or?
Or just offer them the opportunity to.
It's a great suggestion.
Thank you for joining us today on Protect the Nest for part one of the podcast on tips and tricks for increasing holiday safety in children's ministry with guests Heidi and Jason Hensley. Tune in next week for part two, where Heidi will discuss how she manages holiday security as the Director of Children and Family Ministries at Quail Lakes Baptist Church. Both Heidi and Jason will have more great tips and tricks to share, so please tune in. If you're a new listener and want to find out more about KidCheck, we encourage you to visit kidcheck.com. It's got great information on secure children's check-in, how to schedule a free product demonstration, or even get started with us. Until next week, be blessed.